You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
What's up, ladies and jelly beans? My name's James Fulton, and welcome to the Long-Form Conversations podcast, coming to you on tape from New York City, the Big Rotten Apple. So I was a guest on the previous episode if you listened, but today I'm back as your host for another round of our ongoing La Ronde. Today my guest is Jo Ruihab, and she, improv fans might know her from the Lloyd Team 17 and the brand new team, Doing Hugs. She's also a longtime intern at the theater, so you may have seen her around. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stand up and give a round of sound for Jo.
The crowd's going wild.
What's up? How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, I set this up and I run this and this is mine. let's talk improv. So you're on the new team, Doing Hugs.
Doing Hugs, yeah.
First of all, gotta know, what's the story behind that name?
Wow, okay. So we had to do our hangout, and we all met at McManus. And
oh, wow.
The first person, I think I saw Brandon Tarzis first, gave him a hug.
Great.
And I think maybe AJ came in. I said, we're doing hugs. Anyway,
wow.
And then we just passed it on. We're doing hugs. And we did hugs. And we're going to do them every other week.
That's awesome.
At UCB East.
So is that going to be like? So is that going to be like an intro bit? Like, are you guys going to hug before every show?
We do hug at the top of each show,
right.
And I think we're going to keep it.
Hell
I like
yeah.
it. I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone.
Sure. But you are the only
this
one
is,
on wax.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where does your improv life begin? Like, where did you discover improv? Where did you fall in love with it?
Yeah. So looking back on it, I think maybe in fourth grade, there was Improv Olympic came to my school, but it was just
and
a flash in the pan. Oh, I'm from Ohio.
Okay.
The Cleveland, Akron area. Went to Walls Elementary, Kent, Ohio. Shout out. in fourth grade, I think Improv Olympic came by for a couple days, and well, that was fun. Then they left us in the dust. I thought it was fun. But then nothing really happened. I remember, I think it was like early 2000s, I was in high school, and my friend's older brother introduced me to the UCB show.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, what is this? What is happening? I want to be a part of this. And then years went by, and in 2011, I moved to New York, and I finally made the decision that I wanted to do improv and I wanted to get into this. And I signed up for classes before I moved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't do it in college or anything. I don't know why.
Oh, that's so interesting. Do you remember anything about that, elementary school? Like, do you have any memories of what?
It's very repressed. I just remember improv games. I remember us trying to, make the letters of the alphabet together.
Cool.
That was a fun thing. That's about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just so curious of those early formative experiences.
Yeah.
So you jumped into classes. Did you blast through the classes pretty quick? Like, what stands out to you from?
Yeah, I went straight through, and I took improv and sketch at the same time.
Cool.
So I don't know if that was helpful or not, because one of them is writing and one of them is trying not to think and not to be in your head. I took, I had Fran Gillespie for my 101, and then I just powered through as soon as one was done, signed up, blew through my savings. it was great. And then, I became an intern.
Cool.
So I was able to take a lot of classes for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Do any classes stand out? I mean, were there any classes where you're like, wow, this is 100% my thing now, or like moments that unlocked you?
Yeah, I remember every single class before my second 401. I was like, what if I just turned back right now? And I just didn't go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like you're standing in front of the building kind of thing.
This is my moment. What if I just turn off this radio I have over my head to say anything? Callback
from when? Yeah.
I loved it, but I was, I had crippling anxiety about it. But I just wanted to be as good as those people that I saw on stage. I think one of my first shows that I saw was, a John and Scott show.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you get to see them perform magic on stage. Like, I want to get to that point. And so I took 401, and I, without even applying for advanced study, I was like, I think I need to do this again mm-hmm. to feel confident. And I took one with Brandon Scott Jones. The best. I mean, and I had a breakout moment then. I think it was with Personal Notes, and I think he was I can't remember the actual note, but I think he was saying to come out with an emotion already and then react to whatever is being said with that emotion. So and then I just had a killer scene it clicked for me then.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment you said you felt anxiety? Mm-hmm. Do you remember when that stage fright fell away? Like, do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was during that 401.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I get this now. And people, you know, are okay with it.
Yeah.
People are laughing.
Yeah, I think that's a big part is like that, getting that outside.
Yeah. And also just not being afraid to fail. I think I was one of those like straight A students, not because mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, I want to get straight A's.
Right.
No one was pressuring me at home to at all. So I was one of those people who like, I like doing well. So I guess I was worried about not.
Right,
but
right.
The moment you forget or the moment you don't care,
that's
the moment you're going
to
get your improv A.
Oh, man, yeah. Is that – Corinne asked me this great question that I really liked. But if there was going to be like the Joe Improv School, like what would your mantra be?
Mm.
Like what would – because you're talking a lot about like coming with an emotion and like not thinking. But like what's your – like, what's the marquee over your theater? Like, what is the thing that you feel like maybe defines you as a performer, or the thing that you admire most in other performers? Or
Yeah. Wow, that is good. Especially to boil it down over to into something that could be put on a marquee.
Totally. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, we can draft
it. Oh, dear Lord. It could be a large marquee, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, we got – in this hypothetical scenario, you've
got
real estate to burn, baby.
Great. Good. Whew. Yeah, just really giving it your all. Just really, acting realistically in under imaginary circumstances.
Interesting.
But that's, I think, like Meisner.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think just really being in the moment and believing your character. I think that sometimes we can get a little wrapped up in writing a joke.
Totally.
I think if you are the character, the jokes should be able to come and they'll be richer because of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you're coming in from a very like acting perspective of like embodying a character and like being a person on stage.
Yeah. I'm a pretty emotionally driven person.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my therapist would say. I do believe in, like, going at it emotionally. I think that performing ironically with that ironic detachment happens when you are a little less confident in what is – or you feel silly. Not you, but just one, the royal you. So I noticed that when I really commit to a character that – you know, the payoff is better and the jokes feel, they just flow, baby.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So let's talk about your getting your march to a house team. So you went through classes. Mm-hmm. How was auditions for you? How was that process?
Yeah, auditions were fun.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, learning is fun.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
I can't remember how many times I auditioned. I wasn't one of those people that got on right away. I remember the first time I auditioned, there were like two people. I think it was like Achilles and Nate. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is... It was like right when I got into advanced study. Mm. So it didn't work out then, but I had fun.
It's great. Yeah.
I think it was my fourth time auditioning, if I remember correctly. You gotta have fun. So I remember the second year I auditioned, I got a call back, and it was one of those moments where you're seen. Your scene work during the audition was less like some energy was flowing through me. Like I felt like an outer body presence where it's like, I'm nailing it. it was a good high.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So you're just trying to chase those highs. But, you know, then I got in my head and didn't make it. I remember by the time I made it, I was in a spot where I was like the pressure – you know, of course, you still want to be on.
Right.
But it's like, I'm going to keep doing improv regardless or not if I'm, you know, on a team here.
I think that's a pretty, like, universal. I feel like I've heard a lot of people say that. Like, at the point at which you get on, you're sort of like, I know I'm not going to stop doing this. And, like, whether or not I get the validation from this theater or that theater, it's like, I know I'll keep doing this.
Yeah.
And that swagger is almost like...
That's what you need. I feel like that happens with if you just hear any Hollywood story of like, oh, I booked this commercial or booked this job on this pilot because I wasn't, you know, I didn't care if I got it or not.
Right, right.
It probably means you're just going in as yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you got on Lloyd. Mm-hmm. You were on 17. Great team.
17. Love them.
What was your first Lloyd experience like?
Oh my goodness, it was so good. I actually I think I was an addition later. I mean, I was on the team when everything was announced, but I think it was a last minute addition. There was someone got bumped up to Heralds. There was one of those shuffles, so I think, you know, I was first on that wait list, baby. Waiting. It was amazing. Such a wonderful group of people, so open and sweet. I love hanging out with them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's such a great mark for a team of, like, when you enjoy hanging out with those people regardless of whether you're on stage or not.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was the perfect first team.
That's great.
Your first time is always special.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And same with improv.
Speaking of Lloyd, what are your thoughts on the pattern game? I know it's a very polarizing community topic.
Yeah, I was very intimidated by it at first. Mm-hmm. But actually, I was on a practice group for a year that Chloe Kozer got together that did Pattern Game Heralds, and we just drilled that for a year.
Wow.
So it got in my bones. Yeah, I love the pattern game. I think Heralds in general, or pattern game-wise, because it's premise-heavy, it is sometimes tricky to go into your scene work from an acting or emotional standpoint.
Right.
Which is something that I I'm always adjusting to or working on. But the pattern game itself, I think it's great. I think you just need to have enough of... a distance between your A to C.
Interesting.
Yeah, basically that.
Yeah, yeah. And what's do you have any, like, tips as far as, like, getting emotion into premise? Because I think a lot of people do struggle with that, where, like, the, you know, emotion is so, like, downstairs gut, and pattern game can be so upstairs head. Like, do you have any tricks that, like, people might, or any things that have been useful for you to, like, insert that emotion?
Have a dramatic and scandalous personal life. No, I'm just kidding. That's an interesting question. Just having a justification, I think, is important, too. And then once you have your point of view, you can go from there, which I'm kind of changing it. That's something that I've been actually working on. I just took a James Dwyer class, and we're talking about owning it. And there's just justifying behavior sometimes can be tricky because maybe you don't do it as well, and justify it as a philosophy.
Right.
So then you're just playing pattern as opposed to like if then, then if this, then what.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something that clicked with me where it's like you unpacking this, like, OK, I know this thing is weird and some people would think this is weird, but I think this, but I do this because of this, because I believe, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
turning
yeah.
it back into those like first person statements. Is
yes.
that the. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Huh. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that answer.
That's so interesting because I do think that that was the thing that I also struggled with the pattern game is sort of like, how do I make this feel like it's a real thing and it's not just sort of this like floating scenario that like a bunch of.
Yeah, because it could because in that regard, it feels like a world, like a world piece or a world game. And that's always harder to play than something that's like crazy man, straight man.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. What are your favorite? What's your so you're backstage, you're in the green room, you're about to go on with your Lloyd team.
Mm-hmm.
What is your ideal like warm up? What are you guys doing? How are you guys getting ready?
Oh, I love Bunny Bunny.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I love Bunny Bunny. Just gets the energy up. It's exciting. Actually, 17, shout out to 17. Great Bunny Bunny work. we could take on any team, if that's a thing.
Oh, wow. That's actually maybe a great DCM pitch.
Yeah.
Like competitive.
Oh, I like that.
Bunny Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh,
next year.
And then so you're on stage. What's your ideal herald? Like, how... Is it fast? Is it contemplative? Is it grounded? Mm. Is it big characters? Like, what's your...
Yes.
When you're...
that sounds great.
Totally, yeah. All of that.
Yeah, all of those things.
Just a buffet tray piled high.
Yeah. Yeah, also we'll serve food in the audience.
That's...
Yeah, there'll be signs.
So many
on.
Indie
yeah.
shows do not feature buffets.
Yeah,
and if
exactly.
I can give you one tip for hosting a killer indie show...
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk. How'd you get on Herald? Was it buffet work?
It was all snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all snacks. They make these great hollow pretzels that honestly killed with the team.
Wow. Good. Yeah. All of those sound great, Herald-wise. I do love grounded improv. It feels like it's a little harder. There's a little more pressure when it comes to like, okay, you have 25 minutes to do this Herald mm-hmm. and do these premises to just do really grounded reality. But... the payoff is so good when you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I also love fast-paced stuff. I think once you get in the second beats. And I think group games should always just be super weird, super just,
totally.
Like, goofy. Yeah. I love going to Crazy Town.
Oh, man.
Goofsburg.
I'm the Goofsburg,
yeah.
a subdivision of.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think, like, so many group games can end up being a little, like, staid. And it's like the one chance in your Herald you have to just like really, well, not the one chance, but like it's a
you
space.
You make a big swing. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because
your teammates are going to be there
right.
to support you. And the audience wants you to do well.
Mm-hmm.
If the audience is like really rooting for you to fail, that's something interesting that we'll address later.
There's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
You're not going to solve it with your group games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The group. Yeah. It won't fix it. I love group games that are – I'm taking this to group games, by the way. Just dynamic stage pictures,
mm-hmm.
Just anything but the everybody get in here,
totally.
Which is also, you know, it's
it
fun.
Can, yeah,
but
it's
everyone knows
fun.
What's going to happen.
Right, yeah. right. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it is, like, subverting expectations where, when you get into that horseshoe, everyone knows, like, it's going to be
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Get into that reverse horseshoe, guys.
Yeah, no one sees it coming.
No one's going to see it coming. Also, because many of you will be hiding behind the other people.
Yes. Yeah. So when you're not doing Heralds, like what other forms do you like? Like what other things do you do improv wise?
Yeah. Love the Laurent.
Oh, really?
Shout out. Yeah.
What about the Laurent do you like?
It's just so character heavy, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just two people Charactering it out.
And it does really reward that emotion. Like that next tag can really like play with a point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, montage is just easy and fun.
Totally.
Montage with connections. Last year with Curtis Rutherford, he's great, woo-woo. We worked on the macro scene, and that's such a fun... that's such a fun form.
Totally.
Stuff like that, close quarters, where, let's say everyone is in a hotel and you're in different parts of the hotel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Someone look this up and edit it out. It's all right. Could be macro scene.
Yeah. Just going to be like a robot voice being like, yeah, it's a, the close quarters is a.
So for this long form, we'll be interviewing hack Joe Ruaya.
Oh, my God. We're all hacks.
Oh, my God. And that's the key to successful improv.
I mean, I do think that there is something to turn my joke into something serious. I do think that there is something about like finding your little hacks. Like, I think people are so afraid of, like, having your go-tos feels too scripty or feels too, like, out of the moment. But I think there is something about, like what are your tools? Like, what are your go-tos? Like, do you have things that if you're seeing a scene that, like, if you're in a scene or, like, you're in a show and, like, something's not working and something's not helping, is there, like, something that you're like, okay, here's what I can do to help, or like, here's a thing that I can look for to fix, or like, not fix, but to, like, what can be added?
I love doing physical comedy, so
awesome.
I'll just come in with a pratfall.
Great. Great. I have the same move.
Yeah.
Love to fall down, love to just be an ass.
That's my favorite. Just really committing to that, too.
Totally.
So I think... sometimes that's all that that's all you need. That'll be my above the marquee.
All you need is a pratfall.
All you need is a pratfall. I think that a lot of times we have like standing scenes or just sitting scenes, and maybe there's like not enough energy, or it feels like the energy is leaving. So I guess just like injecting that energy, whether it's like, you know, a pratfall or standing on a chair.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it sounds dumb, but like those little things can really like unlock something. Like, I know if I'm feeling stuck and I see like a teammate like do something, like even something small, like changing their stage picture, it can like unlock ideas or be like, oh, yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I remember doing theater in Ohio before moving here, and a lot of directors would even have you do that, like have you stand differently, or hold yourself differently. There's a whole exercise where you walk a certain way, and it denotes the character that you're gonna play.
Oh, this is like viewpoints. Is that like a viewpoints thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know,
man, are there other things that you your theater background has influenced your? I mean, obviously, you come from your improv comes from a very like acting place.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the line.
Yeah.
But from what I've gathered.
Right, yeah. And what we're expecting next show.
Yeah. I will be there and I will have all of this printed out.
I do a lot of costume work. Yeah.
But are there things that you learned from your theater background that you're bringing into shows, or that you feel like help you in your improv?
Commitment, you know, commit to the character, just really go for it, and project. That's such a thing that we forget about as actors, especially since not all of us have acting experience. Mm-hmm. We're just comedy people, and maybe we'll shoot a web series where we can be mic'd.
right.
But, you know, when you're on stage, you have to project. And the beast that's far, the people in the back can't really hear you.
Totally.
So they'll be disconnected if you're not projecting. Plus, it's going to give you more energy, and it's gonna make your scenes more dynamic.
That's so interesting, because I've never heard that before, but that makes a lot of sense, that projection isn't just about like being heard, but it's also like giving yourself that little boost. That's awesome. Are there moments in your that you can remember? In your improv life, where you remember feeling like, "Oh, this is my thing." Like, Were there moments that you fell in love with it or that you, like, unlocked something?
Just those moments where you really feel like you lock into a character. Mm-hmm. There was a Morgan Grace Jarrett class that I took years ago where she said something about your character is just seeing through a different, like, filter or lens as someone. So you're just speaking through this lens, which is a way to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That felt good. I remember being at Steel Stacks once and just doing it's an improv festival, if people don't know. If Lauren Michaels doesn't know.
Yeah, he's the only person that listens to
this. Yeah, which is pretty sad. But it's all about the quality, mm-hmm. not quantity. that was great. I remember one time it was there was an Achilles class that I was taking, and everyone was making it was just such a stacked class. Everyone was so good. Just really a class where people are, like, throwing elbows, you know, making moves. And one time I was just I wanted to make this move, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I ran to the back, and I took the God mic, and I did my move from the God mic. And I don't think anyone expected that, including me. So that was like, take risks, yeah.
Oh, man, I've definitely felt those moments, too, of just being like, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, feeling it rewarded is like, that's
so good.
Yeah, that's improv.
It also sometimes happens where you take those risks and it doesn't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't feel as good. But I think they are just as important.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Who and what are your big influences? Like, both improvisers, other mm-hmm. performers, teachers, like, movies, books, like, stuff that you grew up with that, like, influences what you do now?
Well, improv-wise, all of the Grandma's Ashes crew, love them.
Yeah.
And they were a big part of my formative improv years. Tammy Sagar, John and Scott, Will Hines, all the... Everyone who's in L.A. now.
Right. Yeah, geez.
Yeah.
The brain drain.
Yeah. For regular life, I'm a huge Lucy fan. I love Lucy. Mm. Lucille Ball, which is probably where so much of my physical comedy comes from.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Kind of to an obsessive amount. I, like, had my collection, like, on display at, like, the library in my hometown.
Your collection of, like, Lucy
stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And I met Lucy Arnaz and Desi Arnaz Jr. And I'm like, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did this start? When did you become obsessed?
I was 6 years old. So my mom was a Three Stooges fan, or is a Three Stooges fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have, like, a solid comedy pedigree that you're building on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So very in violence, physical humor. I think through that, I ended up watching I Love Lucy, and I was six, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And I was like, I want to meet her. My mom's like, I have some bad news. Ended up watching, like, a lot of Katharine Hepburn movies, Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire.
Wow.
By way of Three Stooges.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's a huge part of my life. And, you know, I love Tina Fey. When I first decided to move here, it was during the whole 30 Rock thing. And I was like, oh, I want to write like this. all of them. What else? Amy Sedaris.
Sure.
Yeah. I love Jerry Blank. Strangers with Candy. Yeah, I love that, like, she was just not afraid to get weird.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. So I like getting really weird, and I like it to be, in a way, like, somewhat wholesome. I don't know if that's, like, a possibility when it's super weird, but I don't really like political humor as much. Mm-hmm. I like more, like, evergreen character work.
And stuff that's not, like, maybe, like, alienating or, like...
Yeah. It's only alienating in, like, how bizarre.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do kind of see what you're saying, where there's something about, especially Strangers with Candy, that's, like, so weird, but in a way that's not, like, It's not sharp-edged. It's very, like,
it's actually
trying to pull you into the weird world versus, like, showing you a world that you'll never be a part of or something.
And it's about, like, a woman who's trying to, like, rebuild her life, which just seems, like, odd. It seems – it's, like, motivational in some weird way. I want to say Josh Rubin. I think he does amazing characters. I love that guy.
That's awesome.
So, Josh, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Keep doing those crazy Instagrams. Do you coach at all?
You know, I don't really coach. I've coached like once or twice. Mm-hmm. I should. I would like to. So if anyone's out there and would like me as a coach, I'll check my availability.
No promises.
No promises. I was in this like I feel like there's this weird political kind of thing of being like, what do you have to offer? And I think once I got on Lloyd Knight, I was like, oh, I can offer being on Lloyd Knight that's my certificate on my wall, you know, at the doctor's office. I've been working on this pilot of mine, so it's been very time-consuming. But, yeah, I would love to coach because I do feel like it would make me a better improviser.
Totally.
Yeah, so...
Tell us about this pilot. What's up?
Oh, no. Shucks.
You trying to sneak that past me.
We've been working on it for like 2.5-3 years now at this point. Yeah. We raised I guess first I should start. It's called I Adore Dolores.
Okay.
And it's a mix between I Love Lucy, Strangers with Candy, and Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I guess Pee Wee's Playhouse is also to go back to that question, it's also part of my life.
Totally.
It's about a woman, a 63-year-old divorced woman who I play. And she was married to a fry mogul, a la Ronald McDonald type.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he divorces her, and she decides to take her divorce settlement money and buy the apartment building that her strange stepdaughter is living in. And a clown is an ethnicity in this thing, so that's a whole nother – that's another thing.
Oh, wow.
It's just we've funneled so much money into this. We did a GoFundMe, and we built a soundstage. And,
wow.
Yeah. So right now we're in just, like, post-production, submitting it to some, like, programs.
Wow.
Festivals. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, going to try to sell it. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. It's a mess. And I'm coming from an improv sketch and theater background, it's very different. You're like, this is a labor of love.
How is it different? Like, how is...
The payoff is not immediate. Yeah.
Right.
It's not... it's one of those things where there's so many different stages of it, and it's so exciting in each part, but after a while, you really just have to, commit.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's back to improv. Commit.
Which anticipates my question.
Yeah.
What, like, so with the sketch that you do and the, you know, writing and producing and acting and making a pilot and all that that entails, does your improv help you in that way? Are the things that you've learned from improv, are they a detriment? Are they a benefit?
Improv has helped me immensely in everything. Mm-hmm. With filmmaking, I do voiceovers, if you can't tell. It's helped me with that a lot. On set, even with Dolores, we wrote this out. But even in the writing process, a lot of stuff came up with just me improvising.
Right.
I would improvise on set with the actor, you know, opposite of me. In life, it teaches you how to listen to people, how to just say yes. But really, like, saying yes is about not judging. So, yeah.
That's like a really great point. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, that acceptance, because I think people get hung up, especially early on, about yes being, like, agreement as characters when it's more, like, not judging an actor's choice or, like, an improviser's choice and being able to, like, own that. So that's so interesting to think of that as, like, a life lesson of saying yes as being, like, maybe more to being open than, like, getting in every car that is, like, offered to you kind of thing.
Yeah, just being open to the fact there's a car there.
Yeah, and, like, you don't have to get in, but, like, you should be open to the choice.
Right, exactly.
That's so funny. I guess, like, the big question is, why improv? Like, what is so shiny to you about this form, about this performance style?
Yeah. It's so ephemeral. I say it like it's a joke, but there's nothing funny about it. That's why I like improv. There's nothing funny about it.
Yeah, it is impossible to be funny.
Yeah. It's just you're performing magic on stage. I feel like when you really tap into it and you're playing honestly, and I know that sometimes we're always learning, you know, students of life. I've been doing improv for 6.5 years now, and I still feel like I'm always learning, and I can feel when I feel like the wheels turning in my head and like, oh, I'm really trying to work this issue out.
Right.
But then there are times where it feels seamless, and I guess that. That's great. To be there, you know? It's one of those.
It's true. Yeah, it's true that there is something really special about knowing that people will never see that specific thing again and that it'll never exist again, especially when you're working on something, you know, like this pilot you're describing where you're literally building a set and you're like putting in so much like physical effort.
We can't turn back.
Totally.
The other I guess I love playing characters that I don't want to be inhibited by how I look, you know, and I think that's always going to be an issue when you're in Hollywood or wherever.
Right.
Hollyweird. Everything is based off of how you look or what type are you.
Mm-hmm.
With improv, you don't have that. If you want to play like a 12-year-old boy, you can. If you want to play a 1,000-year-old wizard,
right,
you can.
It's
if you want to play a tree, you can. With, you know, without all of the prosthetics.
Right. What are some of your favorite characters that you've ever played? Or do you have like some sort of like quick draw? Like what are the characters that you go to?
Yeah, I feel like a go-to of mine often is like a mom who's just trying to keep it together. Like, you know, like a mom or aunt who's just trying to keep together, or like super fun. Like, like I'm dancing around my purse tonight. In this situation, they're in a club.
Gotcha.
The purse is on the ground, and she's dancing around it. So, those.
Amazing.
I feel like I play little boys a lot, too. I don't know why. I don't know. I have a little brother.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
It's like, so, like, pulling from your, like, true experience to be a fun little guy.
Yeah, I'm a fun little guy. I'm a fun little boy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You do voiceover.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. just getting, like, just weird, trolly, kind of demon-y stuff.
What is, like, what you mean, like, you're actually playing demons or just characters who are, like, twisted?
Yeah, twisted.
Twisted, messed up, freaked out.
Freaked out, freaky deaky.
Freaky little bean babies.
Freaky bean babies.
How's your Lloyd experience been? I mean, give me the juice. Like, what's...
Lloyd has been great. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my first year with 17 was probably the best experience for a Lloyd team anyone could have, especially your first one. Just very open and loving and, sweet sweeties, fun funnies.
Sweet sweeties, fun funnies.
Just real good. And doing hugs, I mean, come on. The name just says it.
I know. Yeah. I love that story,
we're
too.
We're sweet. but Lloyd's been great. It's been... I think Harold and Pattern Game Harold specifically is not a favorite form for so many people in the community, but I do think it's important to like be able to have a grasp on it because once you do, it's like it's much easier to perform any other form. Like this is like the form that I feel like this is the most technical form.
Totally.
And once you know this, you know, you can make it in the Herald, you can make it anywhere.
I think that's true, though. It's like there's so much to keep track of that it's like such a solid base for all your skills.
Yeah.
It's like that base of the pyramid kind of thing.
Yeah.
What are things that you're trying to improve on in both maybe specifically in the Herald, but also like in improv in general? Like what are things that you're right now, like when you're about to go on stage, you're like, Joe, don't fucking do this again, or like try to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Be funny. No.
For once?
For one. You had one job.
Joe!
Yeah, that's back Pat of Bear the at every yeah. show.
Show! One more time! Take it again!
You know what? Any publicity is good publicity.
I would love if Pat just turned into a total monster and just started screaming specific insane notes.
Pat, see you next Wednesday.
Please, baby, do it.
I'm trying to... I mentioned the James Dwyer thing. It's been in my head about justifying because I really want to work on that. I do feel like sometimes we're playing pattern as opposed to philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes it harder to play game and it makes your second and third beats less fulfilling. Just working on getting my – I keep saying philosophy. I think Brennan Lee Mulligan once said it like that as opposed to your justification.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's bring it back to that moment of people, something clicking. working on my justifications and philosophy. And then I talk so much about committing and acting, and I just think that it's always something to keep working on. Because I think that sometimes one can get wrapped up in trying to get that laugh. So maybe playing ironically or a little more detached will get you that laugh. It won't be the wind beneath your wings.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be hard to break those habits of, like, if you're getting those easy, like popcorn laughs.
Yeah.
To, like, push yourself through the silence to get the bigger laughs.
Yeah, it's tempting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the sweet siren's call.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were going to teach a workshop, what would the theme be? Like, what are some things that you think that, maybe not necessarily that you are the most qualified. I'm not asking you to be like, what's the thing that you can right now teach, but like, what's a skill that you feel like everyone should know? Like, what's a thing that, you want every single person to be able to like get better at? Or improviser.
I guess the whole committing. Yeah.
Totally.
So everyone's gonna get married at the end of the class.
That's actually kind of a great idea for our workshop. It's just you have to find somebody that you love doing scenes with by the end of this class and make it an odd number of students.
Right, yeah. Love hurts.
Oh, baby, that's a lesson.
Yeah, that is.
What are some exercises that have been particularly helpful for you that you feel like everybody should, like, give a shot?
Circling back to this James Dwyer thing, he's – gonna hate that I keep talking about him. I just ended a class.
He's gonna love it.
Are you kidding me? But he's gonna pretend he hates it.
Yes.
Taking like a weird behavior, like coming in hot with something, and taking that and saying like, yeah, you're right. I smothered jelly all over me. Most people would take the jelly, put jellies for toast. People would say, but I've been burnt so many times. I don't know.
Wow, another
make
toast
it,
joke.
Yeah, make it toasty.
That's such a great – I feel like that was the thing that was, like, really helpful to me was somebody explained – I forget who it was. But somebody was like, think of it, you know, how a stand-up will set up a joke. Will be like, people tell you or, like, people normally. And you kind of, like, foreground that, like, this is how things normally are. And then you, like, hit them with the weird thing.
Right. And then justify that from there. I think that's a good exercise. Commitment-wise, I feel like the exercise of going on a stage or wherever your class with an emotion in mind. Like, I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be sad, or the other emotions that exist.
Hard-pressed to name another emotion.
Yeah. Whatever you say is still with that emotion. I think that's very helpful with committing. Morgan gave me that exercise once, and I think Sashir once when she coached years and years ago gave us that exercise, and I thought that was very, very helpful.
And is that a thing that you do on stage? Like, will you, like, be on a back line and, like, step out with an emotion already thought out?
Yeah, I've had a lot of successful scenes doing that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Perfect. I think we're done here.
Yeah, I think I feel like for a long time I thought that stuff like that was like somehow like verboten. Like you're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to pre-think anything. But I think it can be really fun and really useful to come in with something specific.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand. So like with premise, you've already written stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I understand that it can be tough because you're trying to honor the premise.
Right.
But you can still do improv and react and listen honestly. I think that more often on Lloyd Night, though, if I'm the second person saying something in the scene, that's when an emotion will hit me. And I'll try to actually really be affected by mm-hmm. what has just been said.
Yeah, that's so smart. I mean, because it's such an easy way to, like, inject energy into a scene. And I think we get so stuck, like, just kind of, like, planting our feet and being like, okay, what premise was this?
Yeah.
Like, where is this coming from? What was funny about this?
You're writing in your head more than improvising, as opposed if you just came out with an emotion, and I'm an emotionally driven person. So maybe that's helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are, you know, they can just say anything, just so funny.
Yeah.
Good job. Keep doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And isn't that fun for them?
Yeah. But yeah, I guess like listening to your gut. Yeah.
Totally. Is you do sketch as well, right?
I do, yes.
How has improv helped your sketch work and vice versa?
So I write a lot of sketches. I've been through the sketch program, and mm-hmm. But I do a lot of sketch. I do video or film and stuff.
Sure.
So I like to make sketch videos, and I think that improv has helped. Just improvising on set and not being beholden to your words.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sacred.
Mm-hmm.
They're like about a fart machine or something.
Right.
You know? So it's,
yeah.
It's okay. Like,
no one's going to miss your fart machine jokes.
Yeah. Or will they?
No, who knows?
We'll never know. Director's cut. So I think, it helps with working with people, you know, like other writers if they have ideas,
mm-hmm.
not being so precious with your work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just filmmaking on set in general, you have to, I don't know, be able to go with the flow,
mm-hmm.
roll with the punches.
For sure.
Yeah. So just, you know, punch me.
If you run into Joe on the street or
please.
On stage and you're in the audience, feel free to jump up.
Yeah, feel free to jump up, give me a punch, and I'll know you were listening.
That's so interesting, too, about this idea of, like, improv teaching collaboration. Because I've felt that, too, of, like, it's the conviction that your ideas are, like, rock solid, unsinkable, and being able to let that go through improv.
Yeah, and I mean, that I see that happen a lot. I've been in that situation where I'm mm-hmm. like, I have a killer idea. I'm going to come out. And then someone's second line just completely derails what I was going to do.
Right.
But improv is a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to just be prepared for your teammates, you know, throwing balls at you.
Yeah.
Get those mitts up.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I saw Zach Woods and Thomas Middleditch a couple years ago at DCM, and I mean, so good. Thomas Middleditch was doing, you know, all the crazy characters, and Zach Woods was just like framing it. It was so impressive.
Just like yeah. literally just like giving it a context.
Yeah, yeah, and that is such an. Sometimes it feels like it's a thankless job, but mm-hmm. it's. It's just so impressive, yeah.
Do you feel like you're more often the Middleditch or the Woods?
I think it could go both ways. I think I'm more Middleditch,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I mean, that's like the id of me, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I would like to be more Woods. Ditch and Woods.
Yeah. That's either a great police procedural or... could be a great improv book, too.
That's true.
Ditch and Woods.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like, I'm getting the light here, and it looks like we're about out of time.
I'm getting an encore light.
Oh, that's so weird.
Oh, wow.
Why can I not? Oh, no, actually, this is a great improv scene.
Yeah.
Talk yeah. about two third parties that are not in the scene.
Selling something.
Yeah. For anyone who's, like, aspiring to, like, get to where you're at. Like somebody who's listening to this who's like, yeah, like I want to be on a house team. I want to make my own pilot. I want to do all these amazing things that Joe's doing. What advice do you have for that starry-eyed youngster out there?
Oh, man. This might sound cheesy. It may sound corny.
No, I love it.
Like, don't be afraid to fail and don't be afraid of hard work. Failing doesn't... Like, you shouldn't get what you want right away. I'm not trying to say, like, people who've gotten on a house team with their first shot, like, don't deserve it. They do. They're there for a reason. But, don't be afraid of the hard work. And I think that you should want to be in love with the process more than the product. There's a quote that I probably mislabel for Bette Davis saying this, but we'll just say it's my quote now. But you need to love like the sweat and the blood and the tears more than the lights and the glamour and the red carpet. If you work for that, the rest will come. Failing is going to make you better. You learn so much when you fail than when you just succeed right away. So yeah, and you are here because you're funny. You know, there's something about you that is special, and you know, keep bringing that light to the world, baby.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. I'm really struck by the thing that you said early on of like that you took 401 again without even applying for advanced study. I think that's like such a testament to that idea of like do the work, like get in the practice.
Yeah, I just want to be good.
It's great. Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, and we're all still learning. And I mean, I'm still learning and I'm still failing and hopefully also succeeding.
Totally. Yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Joe. This was so fun.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah. So that was a long-form conversation. Tune in to the next episode when Joe is going to be the host talking to another great guest. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you at the show.
You've been listening to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.